Come over here.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Justine Rotolo, also known as Miss ADD, and I want to welcome everyone to the podcast, to the show today. Last week we were off. I hope everybody had a wonderful Labor Day weekend. So this weekend I had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with my son, who came down from San Francisco. He plays the bass guitar for a group, and he had a show that I went to in West L.A. last night, which was exciting. He's also composed some music, which once we figure out how to get it on the show, it'll be on the beginning and the end. And, of course, you know, I'm so proud of him and so excited about this. So anyway, I just wanted to talk a little bit about what we're going to do today. And before I do that, to just remind everybody out there that if you want to get in touch with me, you can go do that through my website at missadd.com. I've been a life ADD life coach for 20 years. I'm also an MFT intern submitting my hours this week, and I'm going to be sitting for the exam very soon, which I'm excited about. You can also get in touch with me on my Facebook page, which is Miss ADD. And on Wednesday nights, I run an extremely powerful support group for adults with attention deficit disorder. And that is at the Center for Learning Unlimited in Torrance, California, 2785 Pacific Coast Highway. And the group goes from 7:30 to 9, and we're doing a lot with right now individuation, emotional individuation. We actually had someone show up last week who was a new member, and when I asked her how she heard about the group, she said she heard it on my podcast, which is really exciting. So any of you who are in the Los Angeles area and would like to come in to the group and join us, we'd love to have you. Okay, so let me tell you about our guest today. Her name is Shel Mendelson. She has her master's, is a career counselor and a coach. She's in private practice for 20-plus years. She was the founder and CEO of Kids Art, which is an international children's art franchise, now in the U.S. and 16 countries. She's been a teacher, trainer, workshop leader, and speaker. She specializes in career coaching for ADDers, which is really exciting because most of us really need to find the perfect career, our passion, in order to really feel happy at what we're doing. She's helped hundreds of clients make the shift from feeling stuck in a life-sucking job or career to divining a crystal-clear path to joyful livelihood. Clients experience new career or business opportunities, higher salaries or income, numerous job offers, significant business connections, and a boost in confidence, critical in today's competitive job market. So it seems like she is amazing at what she does, really incredible. So we're just waiting for her to call in. I'm sure she'll be on the line any moment because she's calling in from Texas. She's going to be addressing for a lot of you out there the questions that you have in terms of how to really find your passion, how to find the career that you absolutely know you want to have. And she's calling in right now, so I'm going to bring her in. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this Shel?
This is Shel.
Hi, Shel. How are you? Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me, Justine.
Oh, you're welcome. I think this is going to be fun today. We're going to help a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just telling everybody about what you do, and so why don't you tell us about, first of all, about your ADD story and why you chose the career that you are, the path you're on right now.
Well, my ADD started when I was born, but I didn't find out about it until 2008.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, I think most of us have been there.
Yeah.
So in my early days in my 20s, I got frustrated with college because I had switched majors and lost a year, and I think some of you might understand how that goes. So I decided I was going to quit for a while, and I worked as a secretary. Well,
okay.
I don't know. Yeah, okay. So picture the secretary,
right,
who didn't have secretarial skills other than typing and shorthand at the time, which dates me a little bit, but
right.
That was the bad news for me. I'm not organized.
Right.
And the
I
other
can
thing
relate.
Was, yeah, I think a lot of people can. So I found out that I had a little touch of the rebellious in me. Can you relate to
okay.
that?
Yes, I can.
And then I really didn't, you know, even at that time, I didn't even like working with people, but I just couldn't identify it. In the meantime, I probably got fired from 10 jobs.
And what was the reasoning for the firing, do you think?
Well, you know, I started making silly mistakes, and I'm going to get into more about why this happens. I was clearly in the wrong job. I was not supposed
right.
to be a secretary. I really didn't like the work. It was what I knew how to do, and so I figured if I just found one that seemed kind of interesting to me, maybe I'd find one that fit for me. I worked at a couple of college campuses, but really I wanted to be back on the college campus. Going
right.
to school. So
right.
I ended up, you know, finally getting back into school. I was just like, there's no way I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. So if I want to have a shot at doing anything that I love doing, then I was going to have to get back in school. Well, I got my master's degree. I actually even got a teaching degree, but I ended up thinking that I wanted to be a teacher of high school students, but realized that I really didn't like working with high school students. But the good news is that I loved teaching. I just
right.
didn't understand in what area or what area of focus I wanted to use my teaching. And in fact, I've done teaching my whole life. So that's a little hint about what's to come here. So when I was 29 years old, I made the decision to go back and get a master's degree. And I knew that I needed to get back into something that I really loved doing, and I knew I loved working with people. So it wasn't really difficult for me to select counseling.
Right.
And the only counselors that were getting hired in my area, because there were so many females that wanted to get in these programs, I would just have been a number. So I got into vocational rehabilitation counseling.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
Yeah, it was absolutely perfect for me. I had no idea what I was getting into because I knew nothing about working with disabilities, but I love counseling.
Right.
So I ended up doing working for a couple of companies, and I went off on my own. And from the very beginning, what I loved about it was I got to be a professional. I didn't
yeah.
have to. Nobody was bossing me around. I got to do all the things that I enjoyed doing, working with people. It was very flexible. I had lots and lots of flexibility. In other words, I didn't have to stay in one place. I could work from home. I could work from
right.
an office. I could be out on the road. It was perfect for my ADD self, which, again, I didn't know I was ADD at that point.
Right. But you needed that ability to switch around during the day and not always be in one place. I get that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I did that for about 10 years, and I realized, you know, that I wasn't really enjoying it after a while. And up to that point, I had always been pretty good about sort of planning for the next thing or just knowing that I had to start doing it because I could feel burnout coming on.
Right.
So I decided I really wanted to work with people who didn't have, you know, weren't in the workers' compensation system, which was the system I was in at the time.
Okay.
And people who just really wanted to go back to work and wanted to find something they loved doing. And
right.
In other words, the general population. So
yeah.
I trained, I went back and I got training with Richard Bowles, who wrote What Color Is Your Parachute?
Oh,
he's
great.
My mentor. Yes.
Great.
And I've been a resource in his book for the past 20 years. So I am very much aligned with his work. He is the grandfather of all things career, in my opinion, and
right.
I've never found anything that measure even remotely measures up to what he does.
Right.
So I loved, you know, I went back to doing that, and about that time I got married. I got married late in life, and then I had a child, and I, of course, got the parenting bug and got the children's bug, and I'd always been artistic, so knowing, you know, how to successfully transition folks, I was able to use my skills and get to the next transition very easily, which was to create, just by the way, I created a children's art franchise, which is now in 15 countries.
Yes, can you tell us more about that? Because I mentioned it at the beginning of the program, but I'm not familiar with it. So why don't you fill us in on that?
Well, I woke up one morning with the name Kids Art on my mind. It was one of those serendipitous things. I can't really explain it except that it was the thought that came to me and never left. And no matter how hard I tried to make it leave, it would not go away.
Tell me what exactly is it? Is it kids' drawings? I don't understand.
It's a franchise, and we sold franchises to people who are interested in having a business, a children's art business, where they would go to schools and they would set up classes after school. So it was an after school program.
Great.
And now our first country we went into was Shanghai, China. We're in two different locations there. You know, for me, and I think some of you who are, some of you ADDers out there have the creativity bug. Most of us do, actually.
Oh, all of us do.
We all do. We all have, we're all like amazing creators. And the fun comes in the creating part, right? So I was so excited. It took me several years, really, to make it happen. And when we started selling franchises, I was pretty obsessed at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, little did I know, I was creating a little corporate environment for myself, and it just got to be where my creative juices were kind of going to the wayside, and I was putting out fires every day. The people I work with, you know, I had to bring on different people, and it was synergistic in some ways, and then it wasn't in other ways. So what happened was that nobody else, and I didn't know I was ADD, by the way, at the time.
Right.
All of my characteristics literally exploded when I was in that situation.
Wow.
And I finally realized that I was miserable. I mean, I was absolutely miserable in what I was doing.
Right.
And I felt trapped because I was the owner of this company. I was one of the owners. And so I just had to do something drastic, so I had to leave.
Right.
I just had to leave. And I was feeling the calling to come back to career counseling. And I also had a friend at that time who had sent me a book on ADD. She's a therapist, and she has a son who's ADD. She knew all along that that's what was going on with me. And I think it was one day I just hit bottom, you know. It was after I left and I had gotten divorced and all these things had happened. I guess, you know, things kind of come in threes.
Yeah.
And I just kind of hit bottom at that point, and I crawled out to the living room, and I knew exactly where this book was on the shelf. I pulled it out and I read it. I read all did the checklist. I'm sure some of you have done the checklist.
Yeah.
And my mouth just hung open, and I just went through, you know, I self-diagnosed at that point. I actually went and had a diagnosis from a nurse practitioner. But at the time, it was like, you know, I don't know what it was like for you or when you found out you had ADD, but it was like one of those things where you're relieved.
Yes.
And you go into the grief process.
Yes.
It's
interesting you say that, because I was diagnosed when I was 40, and which was 18 years ago. And I remember the first time I ever took medication, and I cried because I could read even though I made it through college, I could read for the first time in my life and retain without my mind wandering. But just a short story, I run this support group on Wednesday nights, which I tell everybody about every week. One of the gentlemen who's a new member to the group on Wednesday was saying that he was asking people around the room if they were feeling sad. And he's newly diagnosed. And one of the things that I shared with him was that, you know, it's a double-edged sword when you become diagnosed, because it gives you answers to your life. But it also, there's a sadness in some ways because we feeling like, gee, is there really something wrong here? Where then I go into my whole routine on how this is a gift, because it really is. But there is a sadness. There is something there in the very beginning when we first get diagnosed, along with looking at back at your life and saying, now I understand why all this went on. Yeah.
Oh, and when I was, you know, when I was, I guess, in the middle of the chaos with KidsArt, I was the only one with ADD. Everybody else was completely focused and organized, and I was the only one who wasn't. I was the creative one who liked to, you know, think 2-3 years in advance, and I had all these ideas, and, you know the story.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Nobody could figure out. So I don't know how many of the people who listen, who are listening in, have ever been in supervisory management or upper management positions. But people with ADD who are in those positions, if you don't know, you understand how you impact other people, it can be devastating, not only for them, but for you eventually, because it all comes crashing down. And I had people who thought that whenever I asked for anything, I wouldn't think about, well, when, where, how, you know, what's going on with them. I just say, look, can you do this or would you do this? And then I kind of let it go, but I wouldn't give them any parameters, so they thought they had to jump to it and got frustrated with me. And, it was not good. It was not good.
From myself, because I was a buyer for department stores, so I was for 20 years in a managerial position, and I remember just feeling very threatened if somebody would question something I said or did. And so much of that, as I look back now, stemmed from my whole life of hearing negatives. You know, you're lazy, you're stupid, you're a procrastinator. And back when I was a buyer, I didn't know I had attention deficit disorder. And it was funny how little things, because of our difficulty with emotional regulation, these little things would kick off episodes for me that absolutely destroyed my ability of climbing the ladder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the one, you know, I think the good news is in the very beginning, or I had never had any problems after I stopped being a secretary and when I was doing the work I loved.
Right.
Because I could manage myself. I didn't have other people to manage.
Exactly.
It wasn't.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's
where I realized, being independent is very important. So to me, and I think it is for a lot of ADDers, but
I
think
there's so many entrepreneurs that have attention deficit disorder.
Exactly.
Because,
and there's also people. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, they just really want to do their own thing. They want to run their own company. They don't want to have to answer to people above them. They just want to do their own thing. And I know that's why I chose to go off and run my own business, because I didn't want to work for anybody else. I wanted to work for myself.
Yeah, and I had always, you know, I started this company, but at the same time I created a corporate environment because I had to be responsible and accountable. And, oh my gosh, I started this company. Why should I be accountable to anybody? You know, why should I answer to you? But absolutely I should have answered to them. And I had, at the time, I didn't understand any of that. I just thought, well, I started this company. It's my company. I don't have to explain anything to you. And I was doing so much, but it wasn't at the tip of my tongue. So when people would ask me, well, tell me what you've been doing. And I had spent like 14 hours doing a million things, but I couldn't it didn't roll off my tongue. So people were, the people that I work with were questioning what I was doing. And that's when I started to realize that this environment is not for me anymore. I wasn't enjoying my work anymore.
Right.
I had gotten myself into a corporate cubicle in my own company. I love looking back on it, I'm so proud of it. It's an incredible company. It's done so many wonderful things for thousands of children and even adults who've taken classes. And, it's all about creativity. It's all about helping to express your creativity. I mean, that was all I didn't want. I started it because they were taking art out of the schools. I was tired of seeing kids missing out on art and music and now PE and things that really need to be in the schools to sort of build the other half of your brain.
Exactly.
The creative
side. Right.
And that it wasn't being regarded as an academic subject or anything that was as important as the other subjects. So I just didn't want to see that happen. And I also wanted to see people be able to make a good living with art.
Right.
So anyway, I'm very proud of the company.
Well,
I'm
you
very
should
proud
be, because it sounds, sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
And you really started something that a lot of people are, to this day, still benefiting from, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very proud of it. So that was my situation. Today, I am independent, working on my own, collaborating with other people, like-minded people, feeling very calm, very peaceful, absolutely loving what I do, and back to my true self.
Right. And what? Tell us a little bit about career ADD.
Well, I kind of use that. I use that term because it's loosely defined. It relates to those of us with ADD or ADHD, or who live what I call a ADD lifestyle, with many distractions that keep us unfocused and often dash our career dreams or thoughts of finding happiness in the work that we do for the majority of our week. And in some cases, our lives. And it can mean that we're stuck or we're overwhelmed with possibilities and we can't make a decision. And it can also mean that we get frustrated and distracted and impatient. And all those things we know are the characteristics of ADD, right?
Yes.
But most important, though, it means that we lack clarity and confidence and focus in knowing without a doubt what direction we want to be in. And I think that's what gets a lot of people in trouble, is not having that clarity and always sort of going to the job boards, going to the newspapers to look for job postings versus knowing exactly what we want and how to get. You know, because when you know what you want, then opportunities come to you. It's the other way around.
Yeah.
So that's my definition of career ADD.
So walk me through, let's say I called you up and said, you know what, Shell, I have attention deficit disorder and I'm stuck in this very mundane, boring job. And what I really want to do is be an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what would you do for me?
Well, when people, if people know they want to be an actor, if they know what they want to do, it sounds like they've already found their direction and their passion, and, you know, from that perspective.
Okay, so you look for people that don't have their, you work with people who don't really know what they want to do. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Well, for the person, say, who wants to be an actor and they're still unclear about some of the specifics around acting, I definitely would help them to clarify that.
Okay.
Like, what kind of an actor do you want to be in? In what capacity do you want to act? I mean, acting can be in many. You don't actually have to act on TV or movie. I mean, there's many ways that you can be an actor or use those skills of acting.
Right.
And it may not start out in the movies or in the media. It may start out in some completely different area, but it's like me with the teaching. I knew I wanted to be a teacher from a very early age, but I just didn't know how to focus my teaching skills.
Right.
And they're skills that I've had my whole life. So, yes, I do work with, I do help people, like I said, who are very unclear. They lack that clarity and need to have that focus 100%. I mean, not even 1 millimeter off, because that's when the doors start opening.
Right.
That's when it happens.
So what would you do for somebody who called you up and said they wanted to talk to you because they were feeling that they needed some clarity in their life, they were bored, which is a big thing with people with attention deficit. I hear that a lot, is that people get bored. And
well, I do kind of walk them through. I have a complimentary session that I do with folks that will take them through that beginning stage, and we'll tackle a strategy to help them start to get a little bit of focus.
Right.
But mainly, you know, one of the most important things is to get the message across, which is really my mission, my real mission in life, is to scream from the rooftops how important it is that ADDers love what they do.
Right.
And why is it different for ADDers than the rest of the world? Well, it's not really. It's not really different, except that a lot of people who aren't ADD can get by in jobs that aren't who they really are for years.
Right.
Whereas she with eight, and that's the gift of it too. That's really the gift of it too, because we can't really function for very long if we're not happy.
That's
when all the characteristics go absolutely bananas.
Right. And that's what happens to the kids and adolescents in school. I mean, they're in school and they're being taught to the mainstream, and the subjects are very boring and mundane, and it all starts there, and it continues to go. And that's one of the reasons, and I encourage everybody who's listening to this, one of the reasons when my boys were growing up, I would always say to them, you need to do what you love to do. You don't need to do what somebody else wants you to do. And therefore, both of them have really moved on to find what they really want. My younger son is composing music. He's at the Academy of Art University in San Francisco. My older son, who's diagnosed with bipolar, he's still struggling a little bit with exactly what he is he wants to do. But I've never, and the both of them have thanked me for allowing them to really find their passion and to take that time. And that's something that I think parents really need to understand. If your kids or adolescents have attention deficit disorder, you have to embrace it with them, show them they have a gift, and really direct them to the place they want to go, not where you want them to go.
I'm following I'm following the trek of this young boy. I think he's still probably 18 or 19 years old, who's walking across the country, and I can't remember what it's for.
Oh, really?
He's got a real mission, and his parents put up a whole Facebook page on it, and this is like his passion. He's doing, I wish I could say what it was, but he's doing this trek, and now all these people are following him, and I'm like,
wow.
I think I wrote in the post how proud I was of the parents to really support him in the way that they are, by just actually posting all this on Facebook and getting other people to support him as well. Embrace. You've got to embrace who they are. And it's really, really tough when parents, you know, and I was the same way, because I'm very college-oriented. And my son, to me, there was no choice in his going to school. And just to tell you a little bit about what, you know, one of the things I've been through is my son went through his first year of college, and he couldn't let go of his girlfriend from another town, and she got pregnant, and I'm now a grandma.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. But I mean, it was very, can you imagine how hard it is? So, I mean, it's wonderful. I love my grandchild, but, you know, he was supposed to go to college. He was in engineering. He was, you know, ready to go. And I had all that typical parent stuff going on, and it got dashed completely.
And then I had to
say, Shell, step back. What is it that you're teaching other people? You know, you've got to sort of embrace this thing.
Exactly.
So Yeah. Now he's working on, you know, he was going into engineering, and now he's just absolutely finding a passion in web design. So,
oh, good for him.
I know. I can't believe it. I mean, where did that come from?
That is so, and that's such a big area. It's such a big area because there are so many people like myself who could never build their own website. I would have to look.
Well,
I had to look
for somebody
else.
Well, I told him he's going to have, like, he will have tons of people just waiting, and he can work on his own. He was also the kid who said to me, because he watched me as an entrepreneur for so many years, he said, "Mom, I'm never going to be an entrepreneur." You know? I said, "Oh, okay." Well, as soon as he had that kid.
Yes. So he has you in him. That's very.
He does.
Very
he can't
apparent.
Get away. Yeah,
no.
He can't get away with it. No.
It's great.
So I want to sort of, if it's okay, just list why it's important to be in the right job.
Yes.
If you're
yes.
in the wrong, if you're listening to this, you know you're in the wrong job.
Right.
If, I mean, you, and you sense, you may or not, may not be in the wrong job, but you certainly know when you not are not in the right job, okay?
Right.
So I'll just say that when we're in the right job, career or business, okay? So this applies to whether or not you're looking for a career or an actual business to go into. Most of our ADD characteristics become much more manageable. Have you ever noticed that? It's because we're motivated.
Right.
And we wanted do something to manage them.
Right.
They're still there. It's not like they're not there, but
no,
they're much more manageable because we're fueled at this point to find solutions and to do our best, right?
Right.
So doing what we love means that also our relationships improve, and
right.
this includes with coworkers, with bosses and people we serve, our customers. It includes our families and our friends, and these are the folks that receive the benefit because we're just happier. Okay.
Right. And if I can interrupt for just a minute.
Sure.
So I hear what you're saying because I know a lot of people, myself included, who have now found my passion. But I think the other piece that's here, too, is there's something that I work on with people all the time. And I think what you do and I do together would complement each other beautifully. Emotional individuation. There are so many people who are ADD that really are still children emotionally and have not they've not grown up. And
hand
emotionally. Right.
It took, yeah,
so,
it took me years.
So I went through the process myself 4 to 4.5 years ago and continue every day on this same path. But what I noticed is that they have to continue that work, even when they find their passion, even when what everything they're doing is falling into place and they're happy and they're feeling peaceful and they're doing their mindfulness, they still have to do this continuing work of getting in control of the negative symptoms because they slip out. So that other work is part of this. Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. That's what I was pretty much implying.
Yeah.
In, just a second ago, is that it's very important to know that we still have to work on those characteristics.
Right.
I should say they aren't going to go away. It's just that
they're not
as blown out of proportion as they are when we don't
right.
love what we're doing. Because
right.
when we don't love what we're doing, we make mistakes a lot of times, and we don't even think about it, or we don't
right.
realize we're making the mistakes.
Right.
We're treating people a certain way, and we don't realize how it's impacting them.
Exactly.
You know, everything just gets exaggerated a million
right.
times over.
Right.
And it also, you know, when you love what you do, the chances of staying in one place increase.
Yes,
and
that's very true.
It also gives you the next easiest and best opportunity to transition because you realize that, you know, you love what you do, so the next thing sort of happens naturally, more organically than having to stress about, well, you know, what am I supposed to do now? I've been doing this and I'm maybe getting a little bored and it's time for me to move on. Well, it becomes very natural, a natural
right.
process.
Right.
And it's less challenging also to process information and to connect to job tasks when we love what
right.
we do. Right?
Right. Right. Yeah, no,
so
I agree.
It's so much easier.
One of the
one of the negatives that I see in some people who have really found their passion, and I'm just, you know, not trying to be negative because that's not who I am, but the hyper-focusing, which mm-hmm. on one side can be very positive, but on the other side can be extremely negative. Because one of the things I teach the clients that I work with is the difference between doing something task-orientated and time. Mm-hmm. We are not good with time. And when we start to hyper-focus and are on something for 8 or 9 hours, what suffering? You know, it's great yeah. that we have found our passion and we're in love with what we're doing and we're very happy and peaceful, but we're also allowing things around us to fall apart because we're hyper-focusing. We need balance. This is the biggest thing that I preach to people I work with. It's called the Tao in Buddhism, and it's the middle, and that's what we need to find in everything we do.
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah.
And I was absolutely guilty of that when I first started Kids Art. I was hyper-focused for
yeah.
probably up to 12, 14 hours a day, and my husband would, you know, be upset because I wasn't spending time with them when he got home from work.
Do you think that had anything to do with the demise of your marriage?
It was one of the things. It didn't help. Let's put it
okay.
that way. No, that was
okay.
not the only thing at all.
Okay.
There were
okay.
several factors, but
right.
no, that was definitely, that didn't help at all. And I'm a pleaser, you know. I don't know if that's true of a
right.
lot of people with ADD, but I'm kind of a pleaser, so I always wanted to try and fix things and make
right.
things better, and I never could seem to do it, no matter how hard I tried. It just wasn't. And
yeah.
I think that's true of most pleasers, is
it
that
is.
You've got to please yourself first.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yes.
And
yes.
I was having a lot of fun doing it, and at the same time, you're absolutely right. I mean, you can let everything else go. And I don't think I stayed at home with my son actually building the franchise system. I did it from my home while
oh.
I was raising him. So I was a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, great.
So I didn't do it. You know, I did it when he was at school and he was,
right.
he was at preschool. I did it whenever I could, you know, squeeze some time in. But when my husband got home, that was my time to really go for it. And I didn't think about him at the
right.
point. That
right.
I just thought, well, now I can work on this. And he didn't understand what I was doing. He wasn't supportive, which made it even worse.
So
until later on.
Did he have attention deficit or no?
No, he does
okay.
not have attention deficit. My son
okay.
does. My son has the inattentive as I do.
Right.
We both have
right.
the inattentive. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But I probably got it 100 times worse. As you know, the older you get, the more crazy you get. He's still pretty
yes.
young.
Yes. I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're talking
yeah.
meditation for hours a day.
Right, exactly.
Yoga, everything you can
right.
think of.
Right, which
yeah.
is great. It's all great. Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but no, I absolutely agree with you. When we're happy and we found our passion and we're doing what really makes us feel good, we're just in such a better place. You know, it's interesting. I can still recall when I was working in retail and absolutely hating it, even though I was an exceptional buyer. I was very good because I was a very good negotiator. Coming from New York, I learned a lot about negotiation. But I was miserable because it was a job that set me up to get in trouble, you know, in quotations. The big joke was if somebody fell down the escalator, it was the buyer's fault because who else could you blame? Mm-hmm. And I remember leaving because I was having twin girls, and unfortunately they were born, but they didn't make it. And I remember after I was in the hospital for 2 weeks because I was very sick. And believe it or not, my biggest concern and the thing I was crying most about was the fact that I had to go back to that place. To work.
Oh dear. Wow.
Because
I'm so
sorry
to hear that. Yeah.
I hated what I was doing. So,
right.
I mean, that really speaks to how it defines you when you're so unhappy.
It does.
Yeah.
Do you know that 80% of the working world hate their jobs.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
80%.
Wow.
I mean, that means only 20% of us love what we do.
Wow.
That, to me, is a scary thing. So that's another reason I'm on a mission. You know, I mean, I work with, I would say half of my the clients that I have are ADD. I work
right.
with everybody, really. But, you know, I do have a special place in my heart for, you know, folks with ADD and understand what it takes really to get through a process of really identifying what the different elements are that make up your ideal work so that you can do something you really love and come, you know, and that it really meets your needs and it feels good. You feel happy. You actually feel happy because
right.
really the process is a feeling process. It's not a thinking process.
Right.
And
right.
I think we've made choosing our career so academic that people really lose sight of what it feels like to be in the job, on the job, you know, all the
yeah.
emotions that come into play. And
right.
That's really the key. It's to really stay and be in touch with your feelings, as they say.
Right.
So do we have time to do, like, a little exercise?
Oh, absolutely. We're on till 5:30 my time, which I guess is 7:30 your time.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we've got a ways
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, well, so some of the few so one of the things that we look for in our ideal livelihood, I like to call it
yeah.
joyful livelihood, are working conditions. I think one of the most important things for ADDers to really look at and honor are the kind of conditions that, you know, we have in our work. And that can mean anything from the hours that we work, how flexible it is, whether we're working in a cubicle or an office or part-time at home or
right.
the kind of environment when you walk in the door, how does it feel when you walk in the door? Is it calm or is it frenetic? And is it noisy? Is it loud? So those are all things that I think are really, really important. So I want to do what I call the contrast exercise.
Okay.
So if everyone can get, like, just a plain piece of paper.
Okay.
And just draw a line down the middle. And, I mean, I can. Do you want me to give them a little bit of time to do this? Or do you,
well,
I can tell them how to do it, and then they can do it when we're
yeah.
off.
Yeah. I mean, and I can even do it right now. I got a pen, so.
Okay.
If you want me to.
So, I think what I'd like you to do are look at all the conditions in your job. And on the left-hand side, draw a line down the middle. On the left-hand side, put conditions I absolutely dislike.
Okay.
And on the other side would be conditions, working conditions that make me feel great.
Okay.
Okay. Then I want you to write down everything that you can think of in the conditions of your work that made you absolutely nuts. Like you work in a cubicle and people keep interrupting you. I gave a few examples before, but
right.
Can you think of some other ones?
You know, how about having bosses that you don't feel you can talk to, you know?
Or and there's an exercise similar to this with people that we do. This one, it could be that you're too much supervision or the
yeah.
rules are too strict.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can't breathe or people, you have a 15-minute lunch break instead of, you know, enough time to get up and actually eat something.
Right.
Or you're just, if you want to work in your own space or do your own work, you know, be thinking about what makes you happy in that. So for each thing that you write down, and write about 10 things down. Most people go to town with this one. For each thing that you write down, say the first thing is a loud office. What would be the other side of that for you?
Okay.
You know, maybe for some people it might be completely quiet or it might be a few people talking, no music, some calming music. You know, I mean, it's different for everybody. So
right.
the other side of each one of those is going to look different for each person.
Okay.
Okay. So a lot of times it's much easier to get to figure out what your preferences are by first looking at what you really don't like, the things that have driven you crazy.
Yeah, which I think is really a great starting point for. And what's interesting with people with ADD is they're very open about that. They know what it is that they don't like.
Right, that's easy to identify. That's why.
Yeah.
But you know, we're all about contrasts in the world. If we didn't have those things, how would we know what we liked?
Right.
If we didn't know what we didn't like, we would never be able to say what we really do like, unless we've just had a life where everything was wonderful and it came to us very easily. But that's generally not true for most people.
Right.
So to look at the other side of it, and then whatever things come up for you, those are the ones that have the highest intensity, the highest feeling, the things that really drive you the most crazy. And the first ones that you come up with, and the other side of that are going to be the most important things to have in your working conditions.
Right.
And you can
You
can ask yourself right now, do I have any of this? How much of these things do I have?
Right.
Do I have on a scale of 0 to 100?
It's hard for me personally to do this because I'm really happy with what I do. You know, I have a great office that I work in most of the time, and I mean, I'm not in the office every single day, but when I am, it's a very peaceful place, and because I'm into mindfulness and meditation, and you know, the groups that I run, and I work with people, and that's what I love to do, and I'm helping people, and that's my passion. So this for me is difficult to do because I don't have a lot of negatives in my work. But I'm
I think that's probably true of you and I, right? But the people who are struggling with trying to figure it all out and not knowing, feeling trapped, feeling stuck, feeling like there's nowhere to go, and they haven't really had 2 minutes to think about what they could be doing that's different. And every time they think of it, it might seem impossible, or there's a lot of yes but. You know, the yes buts that come up.
Yes.
Well, this is you know, a way to take the time and just begin to focus in on what it is that would make you happy.
Right,
make you feel good, right?
Right.
That's one way that you can start pinpointing what's important to you in your work. And the thing is, there's no one thing when it comes to career. There's 7 or 8 themes that have to be fleshed out in terms of what your preferences are to really identify fully what your ideal work is, almost to the point it's like a roadmap. So the roadmap, when it's complete, it will lead you very naturally and, as I said, very organically into what the next thing is.
Right.
And the other thing are, you know, our skills. Of course, we want to look at the skills that we love using the most. And we want to look at the industries that we love, that interest us.
Yeah.
And so now skills that's a little bit tricky to identify, but the bottom line is if you're in a job and you're using skills, but they're not in the way that you really want to use them.
Right.
That can be absolutely crazy making after a while.
Yeah.
I mean, with the secretarial. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I think what you just did here is good because a lot of times, and I think you probably know this, people with attention deficit, when you put them on the spot and ask them, you know, what is it about your job that you like? What is it that you don't? I myself would have to really sit and think. And so an exercise like this would be very helpful for me because even when I, in my group on Wednesday nights for my clients, I give them work to do and ask them to think about things so that they don't feel like they're on the spot, which is great. This is what's great about this exercise because they get to really think about this.
Mm-hmm.
And many times when you take that extra time, instead of just being impulsive and blurting out initially what it is, as you go back, you start to really think about other things. Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that, you know?
Absolutely. And,
so this
and you can tweak it. I mean, you tweak it. You're going to be tweaking
right.
this stuff your whole life. But to have a starting point is really, really important. That's what gives you the push to like go into the very first thing that's going to be natural, the first natural
right.
transition.
Right.
That's not going to be forced. It's, you know, you're not sitting down with a paper circling want ads or any of that stuff. You're,
right.
you're starting to really identify some areas that and some things that are important. I mean, how many people, when they go for a job interview, they're just hoping and praying that they're going to, you know, that the employer or the people interviewing them will like them.
Right.
Well, it should be the other way around.
Exactly. Yeah.
You should want to know something about what that environment is like. What are you getting yourself into here?
Right. Right.
This is your
right.
life.
Right.
And you
but
want
you know,
to know
I think,
if it fits you, not the other way around. So.
And I think that part of the issue that I see in our population with that is we talk a lot about this when we were children, whether we were diagnosed or not. I always make people laugh when I say they didn't know in the Stone Age when I grew up that there was ADD. But they really didn't. I mean, they called it hyperactivity. And we heard a lot of negative things that were said to us.
Mm-hmm.
You're lazy, you're stupid, you're a procrastinator. And those negative schemas stayed in our head. So
mm-hmm.
what you're saying, for us to be able to go into an interview and really interview the interviewer to
mm-hmm.
find out, is this really a good place for me to be, is not in our makeup. So it's something that we have to really start to think about and work on and
mm-hmm.
feel good about in being able to say, you know, this isn't only about me being good for them. This is about them being good for me.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
when you do that, when you start to question, and believe me, they love questions.
Yeah.
It shows that you have an interest. You're not just desperate.
Right.
You know, you're not walking in there just, who wants to hire somebody who's desperate and just wants a job? They want somebody who really understands what they're getting into.
Exactly.
And so, you know, you do a certain amount of homework to begin with so that you can speak intelligently about the company and why you chose that particular one. But you also ask some questions about the working conditions, you
right.
know, about your environment, about what's expected of you. And then you compare that, check that off with what you've already determined is important to you.
Right.
And all of the, you know, the majority of the check marks really need to be there. I would say 85 to 90% need to be there if you're going to go
right.
into a situation that's going to work for you in the long haul and be something that will allow you to transition naturally
right.
into something else. Can I give you an example of a client I had?
Oh, yeah.
That very ADD. Well, he's like kind of off the charts, and he was off and on with his medications, and this was a young man. He's about, at the time when I worked with him, he was about 24, 25 years old. And he had graduated from college in creative writing, very creative, obviously, but had no clue where to even begin to look for work in his field, or didn't even know really what he wanted to do with the creative writing.
Okay.
So he worked as a bartender.
Wow.
And his mom called me up, actually, and she said, "You please help my son." Because he had been working for this kind of upscale place, and he got fired from his job because of something he said or his attitude, or it was probably a little bit of that rebellious stuff coming up.
Right, right.
He really didn't want to be there. That's not really what he wanted to do. But to get fired is very humiliating. I
yeah.
mean, as much as I laugh about my getting fired from jobs, it was humiliating, and it felt
yes.
terrible at the time. I thought, you know, you think, what's wrong with me? I can't even do this.
Right.
Well, for him, he really went into a downward spiral. So I started working with him almost immediately. And I had him do this work where he started really identifying things. I really, really, and he thought it was silly, a lot of it. He said, why are you asking me these questions? Do I want to work with, you know, I would say, you can write everything down like colored paper clips. Do I like working, you know, do I want to have, like, what do I want in the drawer of my desk? You know, you've got to get really down into it. And he thought it was silly, but he did it. And I had him, you know, put together his portfolio. I had, you know, I had him do all kinds of stuff. We worked together fairly regularly for a while, more than once a week. Usually I work with people once a week, but with him it was a little bit more.
Right.
And so eventually he completed this process, and he was lucky. He had people who supported him. And he was offered four different jobs. He had four job offers, so he got to literally pick the one he wanted to pick. And so he ended up working for the company that was, I think, the second best company to work for in Seattle, something like that. And he literally created a job for him.
Wow.
I think it was, you know, internet marketing, or it was doing, he was able to do copywriting so he could use his copywriting skills. And he said to me later on that the job that he got when he walked into his office, he said that I wanted floor to ceiling windows. I got I wanted something nice to look at on. He had a beautiful view from his office.
Wow.
He wanted to work in a team with people, but he wanted his alone time so he could close the door at his office. He said every single thing that he had listed was in that job.
Unbelievable. That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome? And then a year later, he transitioned by being offered a job to do even more of what he loved, and at twice the salary.
Wow.
And I think now he's working for Expedia, or he's working for a very creative company.
Wow, that's so exciting. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
It's really wonderful.
Absolutely, and this is what happens when you're focused and when you're clear about what you want.
Right.
And that's why I have to scream from the rooftops that ADDers have to get with it here. We've got to be doing this stuff.
Yeah, no, it's very true, because I do. I see a lot of people who are, you know, they are unhappy, and, you know, I work with people, too, about this stuff, and, you know, they just, so many of them believe that they're never going to be able to find exactly what they want, and they can. But like you said, they really have to go through this process of, you know, and I think the biggest question, and this is a question I ask people a lot, and it's not only about jobs, it's about life. I say, are you happy? And you'd cry to see the number of people that say no. And it's not so much related to even to what they do. It's related to what's going on in their life. You know, they may be in a relationship or a marriage where the person that they're married to has a lot of resentment because of the ADD, and the couples, the wife may not have ADD, and they have a problem understanding it. So, you know, we try to work on that. But, you know, so much of this revolves around the whole idea of the balance, which I brought up before, because you can be in a job that you love, love, love. But if your home life is suffering because you're not putting the time there that you need to put, like you talked about, you know, spending 14 hours. Right, exactly.
I think it's so important to have people that support you. You know, you've got to have that support and people, you know, on your side, with the understanding that when you find something you love to do, it will help create a much better life for everybody else as well. It's going to impact everyone. But it doesn't, you know, there's always going to be life issues, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't answer every single question, or it doesn't take care of every little issue if you have ADD, but it certainly makes life a lot better.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely. If you're happy, you know, in your job and in what you're doing, and things are clicking for you, it absolutely can help you with your home life. But that whole extreme, because we tend to live in extremes, and that's the thing that I get up every day, and I have a couple of mantras, and one of mine is, today I'm going to live my life in the middle. And most of the time I'm pretty good. I absolutely have days when I don't, and I can feel it, because I can feel that energy shift. And this is, you know, some of the things that I really like to teach people is, you're absolutely capable of doing this. everybody is. But I think the whole process of slowing down, just mm-hmm. being able to take it down, and even, you know, in what you're trying to teach them and asking them and having them, you know, do some soul searching about what is it, what they really want to do.
That well, this is like you put, I love that you put soulful career, I can't remember how you stated it, the soulful career journey, because it really yes. is a spiritual process. It's a process
yep.
of really getting back to who you are, who what you were
yep.
meant to do. And it
yep.
may not look anything like you even imagined.
Yep.
You know, it may be that it was something that was shoved down so far from so many years ago, from when you were a child even, that you hadn't really considered that it was even possible, so it just went away.
Right.
And it's amazing
right.
how it emerges, you know, how it starts to come through as we're going through this process. It's like all of a sudden the confidence starts building.
Yep.
And, you know, what I love to see are people really start to trust themselves and trust who they are, you
yeah.
know. And, yes, all the other issues come up in your life, all the ones you're talking
yeah.
about, the family.
Yeah.
It just comes out naturally. And so I love it when they have, like, an ADD coach or they have a counselor, somebody they can talk to about
yep.
those issues sort of as they come up, because this process will bring up every single one of them big time.
Yeah,
so.
Because I think that, you know, they really need to understand, you know, how what they're doing in their life is impacting others, and being able to take that responsibility. And it's interesting because I was just thinking about this morning. You know, this whole work that I'm doing with people with emotional individuation and having them go back for a little while and look at their genogram and their families and all that, and where their place was in the family. You know, were they the identified patient? Were they the one that was the peacemaker? Were they the one that was the family clown? Did they fly under the radar? And somebody asked the other night in group, like, why is that so important? Well, it's important because I think you really want to know, how did that impact your life and your family? How did you become, where was your tethering in the family? Who were you tethered to? And was it your mom? Was it your dad? You know, what was that tethering about? And your sisters, your brothers? And did you carry that into your quote-unquote adult life? And how is that impacting you right now? Because I think that when people get stuck back there and they can't emotionally individuate, that's when they're not taking the responsibility for themselves. And taking responsibility for their behaviors, for their life, for, you know, making a phone call to somebody like yourself or to me or other people out there who are able to help them,
mm-hmm.
and not saying, you know, this is all because my mother was depressed or my father was bipolar. No, you're 41. That's done.
Yeah,
that's
over.
It's time to start taking responsibility for your own life. And see, that's where I, in the beginning when I was talking about how wonderful it is what you do, because I have a lot of respect for what you do.
Thank you.
To add on top of that, we need to have these people that are grown up in doing this, so that when they get these jobs of a lifetime,
mm-hmm.
they can handle it.
Exactly. Well, it's, yeah, and it comes, I think the confidence comes in more ways than one. It comes also through helping people to grow up. It does actually help them to grow up as well, because they're starting to see that they don't have to be blocked.
Right.
They don't have to make choices that aren't going to work for them, that somebody's going to slap them on the hand or, you know, tell them they're doing it wrong or whatever.
Right.
Which is
right.
what kind of like feeling like a little kid. Well, that
right.
doesn't have to happen anymore. It's really taking control of things and saying, yeah, I'm worth it, and I really want to be who I am. And
right.
when I'm who I am, I can really be a grown-up.
Right.
You know, who I am is a grown-up person that's out there, that's responsible, that loves what they do, that wants to bring joy to the world and serve the world however I can serve the world, and, you know, help my kids make those kinds of great decisions as well.
Right.
And just be a person who's going to make a difference out there.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
Yeah, no, I do too. And I think besides making a difference out there, they have to make a difference with themselves. And
absolutely. That has to come first. Yeah.
Because I work with a couple of people who are engineers, and I do get the creative side of the engineering life, but these particular people I'm working with, they're not very happy. Although they're in their 50s already, and so they're kind of stuck for right this moment because they have a couple of years left, and then they get fully vested, they can leave. So, you know, these are people that after that, they're still young. They need to really do what is going to make them happy, you know.
I would be careful with that. I would be careful with that a couple of years before they're vested because they could be laid off or anything could happen before that. These are not the days where mediocrity, there's so many people that are just up and coming and right at their heels, and mediocrity doesn't work anymore in the workplace. There's just too much of a demand for...
You can't get these people to move because, you know, we've went round and round with this, and it's because they have this, you know, retirement that if they walked away now, they get nothing. So,
well, they should start at least planning, you know. My feeling
absolutely.
Is that they need to start planning because what if in the next few years something happened and they lost all of their retirement? And how many times have you seen that happen?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you try to get people to see this. And it can be difficult when they're pushing back and absolutely not, they're not going anywhere. They're going to stay right where they are. And you know.
Well, no one's telling them to leave, but they should be, you know, just in case. What if, you know, and the thing is about retirement, if they're hating what they do, here's the thing, especially with ADDers, well, actually with anyone. If you push to retirement, and you don't love what you do, guess what? There's no happy ending to a miserable journey.
I know. It's really sad.
There's no happy ending. And my cousin in Point is a good case because he worked for 25 years for a company in a situation that was absolutely oppressive. And he hated it. He had a lot of physical problems. And all he could think about was retirement. He's retired. I was so happy for him. I said, well, maybe he's one of the people that got through it, you know, without. Well, guess what? He's got pancreatic cancer.
Oh, my God, that's so sad.
2 years into retirement. And this
that is
my
so sad.
Cousin who is more like my brother. So it was very devastating. And it's been very devastating. But I knew all the time that he was in that job.
That he was unhappy.
Well, he was unhappy, and I knew he was risking his health and his life.
Yeah.
So it goes way, way beyond just wanting to get that retirement. It goes into your health. I mean, there's no way you can – it's very difficult to repair that after so many years.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I've seen so many people in my life who – that's why I got out of retail who have just been – they're just so unhappy and get so sick. They do. Because they're angry. They're blocking a lot of stuff. They're not, you know, they're not happy, which is the question I ask everybody. Are you happy? You know, if they're happy, then that energy flow keeps going all day long. I mean, that's absolutely
or however
what happens
you define
for me.
Happy. Are you peaceful? You know, do
yes.
you? You have joy in your life. Do you feel exhilarated at times? You know what gets your juices going? What's
exactly.
the most fun you ever had? And you know whether it's work related or not. You know.
Right. Yeah.
Those are the things that we need to keep in mind and stay in tune with. Or else, guess what? It all. You know, my poor cousin. I still am. I was very devastated over that. I went to visit him, and he just was, you know, he and I are very different. We followed similar career paths, but we're very different that way. I've always been more of the risk taker and, you know, the creative entrepreneur type, and he could never figure it out. And, he said, but now I have all the money I need to take care of my treatment, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, that's great.
Oh, geez.
I know.
What stage cancer is it?
4.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I will absolutely pray for him. That's very difficult.
Yeah.
That's a terrible disease.
I don't know how much
disease.
Time I have left with him, but it just, to me, it's an extreme version of what happens when you don't find ways to bring joy into your work life, because
yeah.
your work life is such a big part of your day.
Yeah.
You know, 8 to 12 to 14 hours a day.
Yeah, and you know what? You look at Steve Jobs, right? And he was an amazing guy and really put Apple on the map.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know about what he was like to work for, and I do,
mm-hmm.
he was horrible to work for. I mean,
right.
he would come up with the ideas. He was a typical ADD-er because he had the ideas and he wanted everybody else to make it, which, you know,
mm-hmm.
great. But he had standards that he held people to that were his own internal standards because of his own insecurities and his own mm-hmm. feelings about himself. He projected that onto other people, and he got sick,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you could say, wow, I wonder, he must have been ecstatic, and I'm not so sure he was as happy as everybody thought he was, you know.
Yeah, I think the outcome is pretty clear. You know, pretty much whatever happens in your body, whatever illnesses
right.
come up, it's not that it usually is some kind of indication of not being happy, you know. I mean,
right.
having a lot of stress or trauma or things in your life that have, you know, they come out physically. And it's not that we create it. It's that a lot of times it goes without even awareness. There's
exactly.
no awareness of it. But being aware of it, you have so much more control over it.
Right.
And, I mean, you're more of a deliberate creator, as they say, of your life when you do
yeah.
that. And
yeah.
you think about the things that are important to you and the things that make you happy and the things, I mean, it really has to start with you first.
Well,
you know,
because one of the things that I talk to people about is that, you know, people with ADD, we come from a place of reactive. And what I try to help people learn is how to be proactive. Because if we're proactive, then we're in control and we're feeling good and we're feeling peaceful or happy or joyful, or however you want to describe it. But when you're reactive, when you continually react to things, whether it's because you're miserable in your job, or you're not getting things done the way you want to get them done at home, whatever it is, reactive is not a good place to be for anybody. It's not only in our population, for any population. Being proactive is really a place to be. And so what you're offering here, and I wanted you to tell everybody about your free session, is you're offering people the opportunity to now be proactive.
Absolutely. Well, I offer a 30 to 45 minute session with me that is, I call it the career happiness or career possibilities session, and we identify and come up with at least one strategy for you to sort of look at how things are working for you, so you come out feeling pretty invigorated and hopeful. And
it's great.
And so I do offer that session. It's a chance for us to get to know each other, see if we might be a good fit. Absolutely no pressure to sign up for anything or do
right.
anything, because I want to only work with people that, you know, I have my own ideal client kind of thing
right,
where
right.
it's not, you know, I want to make sure it's a good fit for me as well as for them,
right.
and which allows me to help them as much as I possibly can. So that's something I offer, and I'd love to sit down and talk to any of the people that are listening and let them know that if you're in a miserable job, there's absolutely hope for you. There's absolutely a path to joyful livelihood, as
right.
I call it. And you can make it happen. So
how do they get in touch with you?
Well, a couple of ways. You can write me directly, email me directly, shell@passiontocareer.com. That's P-A-S-S-I.
Now, passion, is it the number 2?
It's the word 2, T-O. P-A-S-S-I-O-N.
Yeah.
Okay. To career.com.
Okay, great. Great. Okay, and what's the other way?
Or you can go to the website, and there's a little book me thing that you can click on, and then you will get a follow-up from there. And there's a way to, I think what happens is you get a couple of free gifts, which I think one of them is an exercise you can do that helps you to focus on what's important to you. And then it's, I wrote a chapter for a book called Are You Career ADD? So it gives you that ebook. And then sign up for the session with me at that point. Probably the quickest route is to just email me, and then you can also book. There's a place where you can just schedule the time, because I have my scheduler right in my email, so it makes it very easy.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is great. I really appreciate you being on the show. And I'm sure for those of you who are listening, I'm sure you've gotten a lot out of this, and I know they'll be contacting you, especially those who are feeling really sad about what they're doing, and they want to get that peace and happiness back in their life and feel more in control, so they're more proactive than being reactive. So I just I hope they get in touch with you. You know, what you're saying really makes a lot of sense, and I want to tell you that you know, I work with a lot of people myself who, you know, at times they really struggle with all this, and they're older and they feel like, wow, I'm at the end of my life, but they're not. See, and they will be if they stay where they are, because
right,
yeah.
And I really don't believe personally in retirement. I mean, I'm close to retirement age, and I'll never retire. That's what makes me old.
No.
That's what's gonna make me old right there. I mean, I as long as I love what I do, I'm not working. I mean, it's just having fun. So when I work with people, I'm in my vortex, as they say. I'm doing the thing that I absolutely love to do, and I'm in a joyful state. So why
right.
would I want to give that up?
Right. No, exactly. See, and that's how I feel. I tell people they're going to take me out of my office feet up, because I'm never going to retire. I'm going to be doing this, hopefully, forever, because I really love when I get up in the morning. I'm excited to get out and work with clients and run my support group. We also have some other seminars that I wanted to tell everybody about that we're thinking about doing. One is over in West LA, my friend who I went to graduate school with, who's a meditation expert. He and I are going to be doing a seminar for ADDers, and it's going to be a six-week set seminar, and we're going to work on awareness and mindfulness, and because they've done a lot of research. I know UCLA is a big one, where, and I know for myself, this really works, is staying in the moment and just not running to the future, going to the past, just staying in the moment. There's so much peace there, and you can really focus. It was interesting because Wednesday night we bought 30 balloons to group, and we those are your thoughts, and we let everybody in the room hold on to them for like 5 minutes at a time. And one of the women in the room said, you know what, there's no way I can focus holding on to these balloons. And I said, that's exactly right. That's a visual of what your thoughts do to you all day long. Imagine taking those balloons into the car. Imagine taking them into the shower with you, or pulling them into a conference room for a meeting. So if you release
them. It's a good reminder.
It's a visual. And it really, because this is what people really need,
yeah.
is that feeling and that visual. And at the end of the night, we asked everybody to take a balloon, and then we released the rest of them up into the sky. And that's what you do with your thoughts. You don't engage in them. You just notice them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
so,
where
can I say
so
something about
people.
That?
Yeah.
I would love to say something about that. I've written a few blog posts on those kinds of things, so please feel free to read any of the blog posts that I've written that are on the website. But all of the people I work with, a requirement is that they do meditation. And the other requirement is, and I define meditation as anything that puts you in that state, kind of that alpha state.
Right, right.
Where, and I've run across something that I want to share, and it's called, there's a company called Mind Power MP3.
Yeah.
You can. Have you heard of them? Mind Power
No.
MP3. They just. I just purchased a album. They call it called the Arc ARC of Light.
Okay.
And it takes you to the moment like you can't even believe.
Wow.
I mean, it is. It's probably. I've done a lot of meditation, and I still, you know, have to. I still
yeah.
have to work on the mind going crazy while I'm meditating.
Right.
But anything that will just allow you to just stay in the moment, like you say, stay in the present,
yeah.
is so, you know, so that's just something that I've recently found. It may or may not work for you, but I wanted to share it.
No, it's
and
great. I mean, I think everybody can benefit from all these different things that are out there. I encourage.
Oh, there's so many things. I mean,
yeah.
There's yeah, and I that's like a requirement for working doing this work. The other thing is journaling.
Yes, I
and
do that
is,
too. Yeah.
Right, the journaling sort of gets stuff out of your head too. So I have them do kind of like the artist's way morning pages, and
right.
have them take a little mini journal with them wherever they go, and start whenever they
yep.
get an inspiration or they see something that sort of pops in their head about, ooh, that's cool. To
right.
write it down.
And see, you and I do the same thing because it's one of my,
yeah.
one of the things I tell my clients and the people in the group on Wednesdays is I want them to journal, take a little journal. I have one that
mm-hmm.
if I'm driving around during the day and either I get an idea or if something really is just getting at me and for some reason I can't release that thought at that moment,
mm-hmm.
I will jot it down. It goes because there's a freedom in writing things
mm-hmm.
down. And then at
yep.
night when I come back home, I'll deal with it then, you know, when I have some time to really deal with it. And it's not going to get in the middle of my day so that I'm not focused because these thoughts, these ruminations that we get that walk around with us all day, whether you want to call them balloons or, you know, whatever else you want to describe them as, they can destroy your day because you really can't focus. And most of these ruminations are negative, and
they can destroy your life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I am pretty much in control of that aspect of my life now. I can walk around most of the time, most of the day, pretty empty because I can just, a thought comes up and I go, oh, that's fascinating. I notice it and it's goodbye. I don't engage in it. And that's because I've been doing this work for a long time. And this is what I like to share with other people is how to get to that place. And we've got a lot of success happening, not only with my individual clients, but the group on Wednesday nights where people really are beginning to see you don't have to live like this. You really
right.
don't have to live in that place of engaging in those terrible negative thoughts all day long. And it's a horrible
place. Yeah, I think that's beautiful work that you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think the world would benefit if everybody were to do something like
everybody.
That, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I really applaud you for what you're doing. So I hope you get a lot of people contacting you
Thank
from
you.
Being on this podcast because I think you're doing great work. And you and I know we'll stay in touch with each other. And
Absolutely.
We'll share.
I would love to hear from you and love to help. I'm here to serve. I'm here to help. I just want you to be happy.
Yep.
I just want you to love what you do. I really, really do.
Yeah, I do
from
too.
From my heart, I'm telling you, it's so important. I want to see people out there loving their work. You know, I want to walk into even a Starbucks. I want to walk into anywhere and have people smiling because they love what they do. I want the services and the products that I receive and I use every single day to be made with loving care by people who love what they do.
I agree.
And
I agree.
That would make wouldn't that make the planet such a cool place?
Oh, it would be so wonderful. It really would. It would just make it such a great place to be a part of. I agree with you. Yeah, just seeing everybody happy and joyful and peaceful.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful. We wouldn't have
So let's help stop the madness.
Yes, we will. Listen, thank you so much for being
thank
on the
you.
Show. I really appreciate it. And I will
and
talk to you,
you
soon.
Okay,
right.
Justine. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. So I want to thank everybody. We're already almost out of time for listening today. I hope you all enjoyed Shell and what she had to say. Of course, if you need to get in touch with her, she gave you the way to do it. And if you need to get in touch with me,
again, through my website, missadd.com, or on my Facebook page at missadd. In addition, again, the Wednesday night group. And next week, I believe I'm going to have the special ed teacher back, Michelle, who was on a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to be really focusing on 504 plans and IEPs for parents who really need information on how to get them done and how to deal with the schools properly. I really think that's so important for your child's self-esteem. And we'll also be talking a little bit with Michelle about some behavior issues if you have children that are oppositional defiant and how to deal with that more effectively at home and at school. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Again, this is Justine Rutolo, Miss ADD, and I want to remind everybody to please stay in the moment, and I will be talking to you next Sunday. Take care.